May we be helped to commence the service with a hymn number 2, tune 179. Lord, raise my soul above the glen, and draw my thoughts to thee. Teach me with sweet and solemn sound to praise the eternal free. Hymn 2, tune 179.
Thank you. read together from Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the Lord shall, the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. Into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passed away. And lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Dear Lord, we come before thee in dependence. Lead us to the mercy seat. We seek thy faith. Thou seest our hearts all together, and knowest our inward thoughts. Seest us individually. O gracious God, we come as a little company, seeking thy face and thy presence this night, though undeserving of the least of thy mercy. We come, gracious God, and see that thou wouldst indite prayer in our hearts. Help us to draw near to thee. O come and bless thy holy word. Use it, Lord, this night to thine honour and glory. Come and speak a word into our hearts. Help us to preach thy truth faithfully, and grant, gracious God, hearts to receive it. O may thy holy word drop into the hearts of thy people and be used of thee in that vital work which stands between us and a never-ending eternity, even the preparation of our souls to meet our God. Lord, we feel to walk at such a distance from thee, yet we come, Lord, in absolute dependence, seeking that thou wouldst draw our hearts near to thee. We pray for life and strength and power, that the power of the Holy Spirit of truth may attend the preaching of the word, that it may reach the hearts of those who are gathered. That thy work may be carried on in Zion, and that thy will may be done. O come, Lord, and direct us into the hearts and needs and cases and exercises of those here in the sanctuary of God this night. For Paul may sow and Apollos may water, but we know the truth. God giveth the increase. And we pray for that blessed increase. Dear Lord, thou seest the low estate of Zion and knowest how thy dear people mourn inwardly. How few gather now in the house of God. What a great falling away has taken place. What a great departure from the truth there has been. Lord, we live now in those solemn days when perilous times shall come, and men are lovers of God, pleasure more than lovers of God. Lord, we pray thou wouldst remember the very small remnant that is left in the land. Lord, we seek that thou wouldst look down and grant us the sight that the government is on thy shoulders, that thou rulest and reignest. Lord, come in our hearts and paths, Lord, we pray thee, and grant us grace to walk more worthily of thee. It is not what others think of us, but what thou seest us to be, what thou seest in us. Lord, we may deceive others outwardly, but thou seest us inwardly altogether. And dear Lord, thou knowest how we need more grace to run that race which thou hast set before us. Thou knowest, Lord, how we need the fountain of thy precious blood. Thou knowest how we need to be lifted out of the carnality of our fallen nature. Thou seest how we need to be kept by thy mighty power. Lord, our carnal nature is to be taken up with the things of this time's state. But, O gracious God, thou dost wean thy church from these things of time and sense. And the Lord, we would pray for more grace to be enabled to run that race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, its author and finisher. And now thou knowest, as we come apart from the things of the day, Lord, and gather a few around thy holy word this night, we seek thy presence. Oh, that thy voice may be heard here this night in the sanctuary of God. We pray, Lord, that as come and speak a word with comfort and sweetness and power and instruction, even correction, into the hearts of those who are gathered. And may we be given grace, being able to feed upon thy word of truth and find it sweet to our taste. Leave us not to be a barren breast to those who are gathered. But, O Lord, may they drink of the sincere milk of thy word. May thy holy word be sweet to their taste, yea, sweeter than the honeycomb. And come and look down, Lord, upon this little congregation and people who gather here. Our dear brother at the desk, maintain, support, sustain him. Look upon those who are gathered here this night from other churches, Lord. Oh, look down upon the churches and those that are represented here. For thou seest all things, and the solemn declension that has taken place in Zion. And gracious God, we pray for the anointing of thy Spirit to rest upon the ministry of thy holy word in these solemn times. Oh, look upon the following generation and remember them, Lord, as we know not what lies before them. But oh, come, Holy Spirit of truth, and raise up another generation that can be thy sovereign will. And come and work and move in the churches. And may there be teaching in the heart. Thy blessing to rest upon thy holy word. Some precious fruit to be thy sovereign will. Upon this village, around about this church, Lord, has long maintained this little church over many generations in this place. And we pray that thou would yet maintain it. May the candlestick of truth be maintained in this place. May others be gathered in. May the work of thy Holy Spirit be carried on here. And may there be a generation to serve thee, to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Upon thy servant here this night, Lord, and remember him. Strengthen him, support him. Use him to thine honour and glory. And oh, grant to him thy presence as he labours in thy holy name. The one said, what is the house to me unless the master there I see? And Lord, we pray for hearing ears. Or may they be given here this night. We pray for a door of utterance. Lord, lead us into that deep mine of thy holy word. And may it be food to our soul. Lord, we believe thou hast made it such to us in our life. We have known its sweet strength and its power. We have known thy presence in its application. We have known its sweetness and its life-giving power. But Lord, we know the solemn nature of the truth. For thou art the giver of every good and perfect gift. We can merit nothing from thee. O Lord, we come in dependence upon thy sovereign grace in hearing and in preaching. We ever live a life of utmost dependence, total dependence upon thyself. Lord, Zion is in thy hand. And Lord, we would not have it otherwise. Gracious God, as we mourn the low estate of Zion, we would remember thou hast told us not to despise the day of small things. And though we would have a sight of the value of one immortal soul, the Lord, thou didst often in thine own lifetime condescend to speak to one. Thou didst speak thus to Nicodemus and the woman at the well, and didst distinguish one in that crowd who touched the hem of thy garment. Lord, we pray that thou would show that same blessed distinguishing grace even here deny. May thy holy word have free course and be glorified. Find a place in the hearts of thy dear children. They may go forth from the sanctuary of God this night, strengthened with all might in the inner man. Lord, we need those crumbs of mercy in our souls to enable us to continue on our way. We need, as thou didst teach us in thy holy word, give us this day our daily bread. And Lord, we pray thou wouldst give it to those who are gathered here this night, a crumb of mercy. Said one, I crave, unworthy to be fed. Dear Lord, come near to us. We shall never bring anything to thee. And Lord, we have no desire to do so. But oh, we would come as beggars poor at mercy's door and ask that thou wouldst have mercy upon us. Wash us in that precious fountain of thy blood. Cleanse us from all sin and iniquity. Draw near to us, Lord, and help us. For thou seest us all together. We make no excuses before thee. We are all sin and iniquity. Our hearts are deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. And knowest that cesspit of iniquity in our heart, and how it wells up, and knowest that solemn tinderwood in our souls, and how Satan is so easily able to set it all alight. And Lord, we pray for thy presence and thy strength in the unequal conflict. Oh, that thou wouldst give us thy presence and thy strength daily, that we may be enabled to continue and be given strength to fight that good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Take us in thy arms of love and mercy and hold us up in our going, that our footsteps slip not. For Lord, thou seest us all together, and we would desire grace to commit our way unto the Lord. Oh, may we prove the truth of thy holy word, that the step, the daily, hourly step of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. O gracious God, lead us. Go before us. Be our guide. May we rest in thee. May we commit our way unto the Lord and rest also in him. He shall bring it to pass. And Lord, may we be brought safely through life's journey and be gathered at last to be with thee where thou art. Give us then, we ask, more grace, and enable us to continue. Give us more faith, that we may be enabled to rest in thee. Keep our eyes, Lord, fixed upon thee, and to know that thou art able to do more abundantly than we can even ask or think. O Lord, may we prove thy faithfulness. We have proved it again and again that our hearts, Lord, are so full of unbelief that we pray that we may possess that blessed anchor which we read in thy holy word, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. O help us to look up unto thee, who art able to do more abundantly than we can even ask or think. Raise our downcast eyes, Lord, to heaven this night, and may we have a sweet sight of one who changes not, of one who abideth faithful, of one who knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, may we be enabled, Lord, to view thee as that one who has helped us hitherto and who will help us all our journeys through. May our anchor be cast within the veil whither the forerunner is for us entered. And may we know the blessed strength of those arms underneath. Lord, we feel to need them again and again. Lord, wash us and cleanse us from all our unbelief. Thou art better to us than all our doubts and fears. And Lord, we would prove the truth that we have known again and again in life's journey when most we need his helping hand. This friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. O Lord, hear our prayers this night. Send down help from the sanctuary. Bless us in preaching and in hearing. Take to thyself, Lord, all the honour and the glory. Use thy holy word in these solemn days, best young and old. Lord, we seek thou wouldst remember our dear friends in the latter days of life's journey, and grant to them thy strength, thy presence, for thou seest the exercise of heart and soul as they approach the solemn dwellings of Jordan, and thou only art able to set their feet upon that rock, Christ Jesus, and to take them safely over that solemn Jordan of death. Look upon us each and grant us more grace, we pray thee. Dear Lord, look upon thy servants as they stand up in thy holy name. Come, gracious God, and grant them the anointing of thy Spirit. And look upon the churches, Lord, do thou seest them all together, how low they are come. And yet we believe a remnant shall be saved. Here, Lord, look upon the nation in its vast iniquity. Thy hand of judgment is solemnly upon the land, yet we beg for mercy. O grant repentance in this godless nation. Turn us again, Lord, and we shall be turned. Have mercy upon us. Deliver us from the common market of Europe. Oh, may we be able to stand alone. Preserve yet our Protestant heritage and constitution. Thou seest the changing scenes that are taking place in this land and the pillars of society that are being solemnly shaken. Great breakdown in the marriages in the land, Lord, and the sufferings of the children. Oh, gracious God, we pray that thou would yet appear. Turn us back to thy holy word, thy holy law, thy holy day. Oh, gracious God, we mourn over the vast iniquity in the nation. Pray thou would be with our Queen, and for all household thou seest the iniquities that abound. Look down, dear Lord, upon the nation, the young princes of the royal household. We know not thy will, but Lord, we pray thou would yet raise up God-fearing men in the affairs of state. On our prime minister and government, thou seest the disarray in the land. And Lord, we pray that thou would yet pour out thy spirit in this dark generation. Now we come to thee this night and seek thy faith. Help us, gracious God, in preaching thy word. Touch our lips with the live coal from thy heavenly altar. Lead us into thy truth. Bless it in the hearts of the hearers. Fill our earthen vessel. O Lord, grant some sweet application of thy holy word, and grant a door of utterance as we ask these blessings for Christ's sake. Amen.
When Ruth the gleaning went, Jehovah was her guide. To Boaz's field he led her straight, and she became his bride. In 519, tune 2-0.
Seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to Psalm 37 and verses 38 and 39 and 40. Psalm 37 and verses 39 and 40. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Truth is contained here in this word, and it shines in the experience of God's people. And we would desire, as the Lord may help us, to look directly at the truths which lie in this word. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. If we are taught anything by God himself regarding salvation, it will be to know our impotence, utter impotence, and also this, that salvation is of God himself. There lies in this truth at the opening of these two verses blessed foundation in the experience of God's dear people, that Christ is the author and the finisher of the work of God in their heart. Blessed mercy when this is laid in our souls and laid there forever, and we know that our salvation is of God alone. Nothing we can do, nothing we can bring, nothing we can merit, no favour of God we can deserve, all is through free the Lord. Yes, here we have the Trinity of persons all concerned in the salvation of sinners. We have in this verse blessed truth that Salvation is of the Lord in the very foundation of it, in sovereign electing love and mercy in the Father. Here is the foundation of the salvation of the church, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for a people that the Father had given him in eternity past. And if you and I are ever brought to glory, it will be solely and alone on that ground. It's revealed in the Scriptures. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. But there is a gift that lies here in this word. Salvation is of the Lord. Yes, it is. It is of him from first to last. And in that precious gift, there lies that inexperienced mystery in the hearts of God's dear children. If the Lord gives them a hope, then they will say inwardly, "Why me? Why was I made to hear his voice? Why was I loved with an everlasting love?" And we can follow this on in the work of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Why was I called out of nature's darkness? Why did the Lord call me and not another? In the case of Jacob, it was Jacob the supplanter, and his brother was passed over, his brother in the womb with him. And the Lord gives no account of his dealing, working in sovereign grace. We know that it was through nothing that he ever saw previously in either of them. It was a sovereign choice. And the Lord is just. Hath not the potter, we're told in Romans 9, power over the clay? But we see it here. Salvation is of the Lord. And you know, when we come to look at the work of Christ, we see how it is absolutely at one with the will of the Father in the covenant of grace. As the Lord chose a people in eternity past whom he had eternally loved, so he sent his Son to die for them and them alone. The death of Christ, that vicarious sacrifice for sin, that glorious atonement, that act of reconciliation, was not one fraction more nor less than was sufficient for the whole election of grace. Whatever man may say, it is a finished work. And when the Lord died on the cross and said, "It's finished," it meant this. That's sufficient. That atonement was sufficient for the election of grace. And for them alone. Oh, how solemn it is. Man has no hand in it whatsoever. He's impotent. Utterly impotent. He is dependent upon the sovereign grace of God. He is dependent upon his mercy. If ever that mercy come to him, it will come as mercy. Sovereign grace. Oh, how solemn it is when in heaven that great anthem takes place. It will be grace. It will center on this word, unto him that loved us in eternity past. The Lord made it so clear regarding his death, the sufficiency of his sacrifice. I pray not for the world, that is mankind, but for them whom thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. Utter oneness between the Father and the Son. We see it here in this world. Word salvation is of the Lord in its fullness, its entirety, in its completeness. Oh, how we see it here. And you know, it is of the Lord in its origin, in the heart of a sinner. When we come to look at this, Did your religion begin with God? Did he begin with you, or did you begin with him? Where did it start? What a vital question this is. I remember visiting a woman for the AG Pilgrims Homes many years ago now in Bath. Asked to visit to see if she was suitable to come in, and I was sent with two questions. And the two questions were these: how did you come to know the Lord? How have you gone on to know the Lord? So I asked her this first question: how did you come to know the Lord? I never forget her answer. I can see that room tonight, and how solemn it was to me, because I could never recommend her to go in, and didn't. They later sent another minister who recommended her to go in, but I couldn't. But you know, her answer to that question after some considerable thought was, I remember, she said, at the age of 15, at the railway mission at Swindon, I gave my soul to the Lord with my sister. We both did it the same night. Is that salvation? I gave my soul to the Lord. Oh, how many rest on this Arminian hope. They gave their soul to the Lord. What does it mean? Where do we ever read of it in Scripture? Oh, how blessed is the truth as we see it in the 8th of Romans. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. The Lord's servant, the Apostle Paul, wrote that word out of the experience of his heart. And we see the blessedness of it. Do you know? Can you mark the call of God in your heart? When the Lord called you, when you heard the voice of God in your heart, calling you out of this world that lieth in wickedness, separating you unto himself, when we look at that call in the as the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth, we see the mighty power of it that calls God's dear people today. In Jesus' day, he called himself, and he was here on earth. Follow me was his call to his disciples. He called the Apostle Paul from heaven as one born out of due season. Call him away from a false religion and from an empty, vain hope. Call him to himself. Oh, the power of that call that draws a sinner out of this world that lies in wickedness. It always causes me solemn concern and bitter sorrow to meet those who make a profession of the Lord's name, have been baptized, and sometimes are officers in the church, and may even be ministers, who are walking in worldliness and condoning solemn worldly practices. I meet it and see it. I groan as I watch it. Where's the call? Where's the work of salvation in their hearts, which is of the Lord? If there was that work, they'd be separate. The Apostle Paul didn't walk in a nice, peaceful way in which he kept in with the Pharisees, his own brethren, and he kept in with the Church of God, and they were all one and at peace with each other and friends together. He came out. It wasn't peace, peace, peace with him. It was separation, separation, separation. The Lord separated him from the error, the false error. He didn't say, well, they've got the Old Testament. There's probably some of the Lord's people among them. There had been Nicodemus. are keeping with. He cut himself off from the error. And he said the things he counted gain, he counted dung and dross for the knowledge of Christ Jesus his Lord. He didn't try to seek salvation through keeping God's holy law. He turned the sword of truth on it in his epistle to the Galatians. He could see that straight and narrow way, and all that was behind him was death. What he'd hoped in before was a solemn death. He was shown in that moment on the road to Damascus that salvation was of the Lord. He met the Lord for the first time. He heard that call and that mighty power, and the Lord gave him the grace to obey it and go straight forth and preach Jesus, that he is the Christ. He was separated to Jesus, and the things he counted gain, he counted dung and dross for the knowledge of Christ Jesus his Lord. Oh, we see the blessedness of this truth in him, that salvation is of the Lord. And there lies in this word power. The call of God is a mighty power that separates his people and draws them out and brings them out and effectually separates them from the world that lies in wickedness and from the professing religious world. And they cannot mingle and mix. That is not to say, and I'll tell you a case of this, that is not to say that some who do mingle and mix are not brought out later and clearly separated. I remember the case of a dear godly man, but in his younger days as deacon at Bournemouth Church, he used to spend his Saturday nights playing billiards at a billiard saloon and give the hymns out on Sunday morning, until somebody in the congregation saw him doing it, and it was reported to the deacons. And the church came together, and he was excluded from the diaconate. He stayed in that church for a number of years, very bitter, very angry. Eventually he moved away to Folkestone. He was received into the church at Folkestone and became the deacon of Mr. Haler. But you know, I saw him in 1968, he was 95 or so then, and the Lord had shown him the solemnity of that mingling in his great old age. I always remember his words. He said, "John, I've done many things that were wrong, but the atonement behind and the atonement before, this is my hope." He was brought out and separated. Oh, how we see this solemn mingling and mixing today. But salvation is of the Lord. There's going to be a separation. There's going to be a calling out of this world. We might try and mingle the things of this world with the things of God. But the Lord's going to teach. And he's going to write this truth in our heart in experience. We've got to be separated. We've got to hear the call of God. We've got to be brought into that path of sanctification. "Come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And this is the word of the Lord. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. And oh, it is indeed. And I believe this. When we're shown the solemnity of salvation, the solemnity of being right, the solemnity of being made ready by God for heaven, the solemnity of being brought away from every false hope, then we shall see a glory and a beauty in this verse, that salvation is of the Lord from the beginning to the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the salvation of his dear church. And you will want it so. You'll want a right beginning and a right end. And you'll long for it. And you'll know that all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And you will want to enter into the experience of that word, "Take away the filthy garment from him." Give him a change of raiment. That's what you'll need. We shall never enter glory without it. And what we shall need, and that salvation is of the Lord in the preparation of it, we shall need the blood of Christ to wash away our sins, and we shall need that salvation which is of the Lord Jesus Christ in this respect. We shall need that robe of righteousness which is His, if ever we're to stand before the throne of God. How many have gone from this sanctuary of God? They lie here. I knew them. Resting in the blood of Christ, clothed in His spotless righteousness. That was their hope. There is the truth of this word. Salvation is of the Lord. It's His in the preparation of it. It's His in the gift of it. We shall see a glory in this, that there is nothing that we can do. No offer that we can accept. No giving of our soul to the Lord. No accepting of the Lord. We need that faith which is the gift of God. We need the divine power of God to call us to Himself and give us that new creature in Christ Jesus. Ye must be born again is the foundation of this truth. Salvation is of the Lord. And that new birth is the work of the Holy Spirit. You will want everything in your religion to be of God from A to Z. Oh, how vital that we be His in eternity past, that we be born again of the Spirit of God, that we be led in this way in a solemn knowledge of our fallen, ruined, filthy, black condition, that we be brought by the Holy Spirit revealing the things of Jesus to Calvary's cross, to know the blood of Jesus in our soul, that we be healed, washed, restored, forgiven, and that we be clothed in that blessed righteousness which the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person in the glorious Trinity, in His sacred incarnation, wrought out for us as He kept His Father's holy law, that precious imputed righteousness, that we have a robe to stand before Him in heaven, and that we be made ready and prepared. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He wove that spotless robe. In His sufferings and death, He wrought out that precious atonement. He is His people's Redeemer. He has bought them with a price, even His own heart's blood. They have no hope out of Him. Salvation is of God in His dear Son's finished work. And that is our only hope of heaven. He is the door into glory. And there is no other way to heaven except through Him. And only as we are united to the Lord Jesus Christ shall we ever reach glory. We must be one with Him. Thou in me and I in them, that they may be one in us, is the substance of this verse. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. And then the psalmist goes on with the divine teaching that the Lord had given him. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The troubles of God's dear church are utterly distinct from the troubles of the world. Troubles of God's dear church are in the hand of God, an instrument used by Him in their teaching. It is the use of trouble by God in the pathway of His people that leads them into a knowledge of their weakness and leads them to cry to Him for strength. And it's in their troubles, spiritually given by God, that they come to Him for strength. Oh, how we see this when the Lord dealt with the trouble that he gave his dear servant, the Apostle Paul, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Most gladly, therefore, I glory in my infirmities, my troubles, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. There's a blessed strength of trouble, a case of trouble and strength brought together. And we see how it works. Has it worked like that in your heart? Hours of weakness, hours of unbelief, hours of fear. And what do they know? Strength. Fear not. What do they know in those hours of unbelief and temptation and trial? How they cry to the Lord, help me. And he sends down precious faith into their heart. He gives them a promise which lifts them up. I love that word the Lord gave his dear servant Abraham. What a strength it was. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The giving of the promises by God in the times of trouble in the hearts of his dear church are strength, mighty strength. They're given in this life, like Jacob leaned upon his staff. He had promises to lean upon which God had given him. Places where he'd visited his soul. Sacred hours in which he'd strengthened him in his heart. When he blessed him at Brook Jabbok as he wrestled with his God in prayer. What an hour it was of strength in trouble. The scriptures are full of it. Full of it. Full of the cases of God's dear church who learnt this blessed lesson. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he's led into these paths of trouble. In order that, in God's purposes, he may visit his soul there in such a way that he'll never forget it. The valley of the shadow of death, hours of great weakness and temptation, times of bitter sorrows, that solemn cup that is in the hand of God given to his dear church, as it is drunk up, they are hours of blessing, and the Lord intends it shall be so. It's the very spot and place he's ordained. The steps of a good man are ordered. He goes down into trouble, and there the Lord comes. Do you know it? He is their strength in the time of trouble. Can you put your amen on that? That he has been your strength in the time of trouble? And what of your loved ones in generations past, whose memory is sacred in this church today? They proved the same truth in their experience. Their God was to them a strength in their great hours of weakness, often physical weakness, often affliction, trouble. What a word it is. I believe there's another word in Scripture which absolutely identically fits this: tribulation. The Lord tells us this regarding the strengthening of his church, that tribulation worketh patience. That's trouble. And patience experience. What a strength. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Christ is shed abroad in the heart. How the Lord comes to his dear church. What bitter troubles. Think of Peter going out weeping bitterly, a time of trouble. But his Lord came. A terrible cup. Guilt, darkness, death, condemnation in his soul, but a broken and a contrite heart. And the Lord came in it. What of David in the hour of his great fall? Wash me with hyssop, and I shall be whiter than snow. The Lord came and directed him into that way of godly sorrow and repentance. And he could see that a broken and a contrite heart. What about Hezekiah? By these things men live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. Why? When I cried like a crane or a swallow, in unbelief, fear, agony of death upon me, He's their strength in the time. What a reality. Do you know? I believe I know a little in life journey what it has been for my God to be to me a strength in time of trouble. But what greater time of trouble is there than a time of guilt, condemnation, conviction, hardness of heart, death in the soul, barrenness before the Lord, a door of heaven in prayer shut up? Do you know when he's a strength in such a time of trouble? What does he do? He comes and gives you a little brokenness and contrition of heart. He melts your soul down in bitter sorrow. He gives you a spirit of confession at the mercy seat. He enables you to pour out your heart before him. And he pours in that sacred balm of Gilead, even his own blood. And he speaks a word into your heart with divine power of pardon and peace. Do you know it? Oh, I believe I've known it from time to time in life's journey when the Lord has come and given a little sweet strength in confession, repentance, godly sorrow, and I proved the sweetness of that word. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Where is there any greater strength in this world than such a place? Pardon and peace are his to give, you know. And he gives them in the souls of his dear people. Well, could the psalmist say, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise, because he knew it. And it was an hour of great strength. Great strength. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. You know, there's something about that shell, isn't there? It's the future. It may be the very near future. It could be the long-term, distant future. But you know, it can refer to a dying hour. That last great enemy is dead. All this precious promise, the Lord shall help them. That is his people. And deliver them. In themselves, as weak as worms, how can poor believers stand? But you see, he shall help them. And that right early. He will never leave them nor forsake them. Simple, this word, isn't it? It comes into the prayer of one who said, Lord, help me. And the Lord shall help them. And deliver them. This is salvation. The deliverance here isn't in time. It's for eternity. He will deliver them out of the hands of Satan. He will deliver them from their own fallen, ruined, carnal nature. He will deliver them and take them into his immediate presence. He will deliver them in a dying hour. He will bring them down to death and there banish all their guilt and fear. He will take them into his immediate presence. What a word, he will deliver them. Well, dear friends, he's able to deliver them. He will gather them safe to glory. He will deliver them from all their fears. The hymn writer says he is faithful. Doubt no more. Oh, the blessed nature then of this promise. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall save them from the wicked. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. They'll be kept here in this world. And then these three words, and save them. He has wrought out that blessed robe of righteousness for them, and he will give it to them. He will gather them to glory to be with himself. He will gather them out of this time state. He will gather them from all their fears and temptation. And he will take them to heaven to be with himself. And the Lord concludes this word with this blessed truth, because they trust in him. We see here the union between Christ and his church. They are brought and have been in this time state to rest in their God. They've been brought to lean hard upon him. They are united to him. They are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. They can never be separated from him. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, I do ask you here tonight, has the Lord called you to himself? Have you come to him? Are you walking in that blessed, straight and narrow way, leaning upon your God? Do you prove his strength from time to time? Do you hear his voice? Be not silent unto me, lest I be like them that go down to the pit. Do you know the sweetness of his presence and his strength? Are you resting in him? Do you know the rock underneath your feet? You may be greatly tempted and greatly exercised and greatly tried. That is the very hallmark of God's dear church. They're an exercised people. They're not like the marble monuments that line the streets of London and never make a sound. God's dear people have exercises. They breathe out utterances to God. They are a people of temptations and fears and sorrows. But they take their sorrows to their God. They take their fears to him. They look upwards to heaven and they lay their case before their God, and from time to time they have sweet intimations that he hears them. They have something in life's journey to look back to which came from heaven, which was of God, and which Satan can't tear from them, though he might try. That which the Lord has written and given them in their hearts, spoken in their souls in days gone by, those precious promises can never be taken from them. Though the heavens be as iron and brass, often in their soul's experience, though they walk at a great distance from their God, they're a breathing people. They breathe out prayers and sighs to their God. They trust in him. They have nowhere else to go. They say, my hope, my only hope's in thee, O God, be merciful to me. Oh, dear friend, the world looks on and understands nothing. Hidden from the eyes of the wise and prudent and revealed to babes. Do you know this solemn separating way to heaven? Do you know this straight and narrow way that leads to life? Do you find yourself in that company of God's dear people whom you have learned to love, many of whom are gone before? Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. The end of that man is peace. Have we seen it here? I know we have. I've seen it in this sanctuary of God. This way has not changed over the generations. It remains the same today as it ever was. It is the way the patriarchs went. It is the way the Church of God has gone through all generations. Poor and afflicted, Lord of thine, among the great unfit to shine. But though the world may think it strange, they would not with the world exchange. And you know, they find their companions in the living family of God in all generations. They marked the footsteps that he trod. His zeal inspired their breath, and following their incarnate God possessed the promised rest. The way does not change. It is the same way. They are despised. They are mocked. Their sorrows are often crucifying. They know the path of trouble. They see it as ordered of their God. But in his hand it is the very means of bringing them near to himself. And one day he will deliver them out of it. Of all their weaknesses, temptations and sorrow. And gather them into his immediate presence, where at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen.
If it is the Lord's will, Mr. Aldridge will preach next Monday evening. In 152, June 6-9, I am, says Christ, the way. And if we credit him, all other paths must lead astray. Thou fares where they seem. In 152, June 6-9.
Thank you.
now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.